Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. Allison Dazier takes my breath away. Founder of Harlem Run and Run for All Women, this endurance athlete is a force to be reckoned with. Passionate about community, mental health, and fitness, Allison got into running distances in 2012 as a way to cope with depression. She also is a certified coach who spends her non-running time working in the field of health and wellness. Allison, along with prima ballerina Misty Copeland, world champion sprinter Natasha Hastings, professional stuntwoman Jessie Graff, and taekwondo champion and actress Zoe Zhang, is featured in Under Armour's latest global campaign, Unlike Any Other, which celebrates and champions the achievements of female athletes who rise above gender comparisons and stand on their own as marvels of athletic prowess. Allison has a bachelor's degree in history and two masters, one in counseling psychology, the other in Latin America and Caribbean regional studies, all from Columbia University. So, Allison, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me today.
So, obviously, you were not in a good place in 2012. What was going on in your life that prompted you to start running?
So many things. I had graduated with my first master's from Columbia in Latin American and Caribbean studies. And so I thought that I would, of course, find a job. I have two degrees from a great university, and I couldn't find one. That was one of the things. In addition, I was dating somebody at the time, and I found out that he was cheating on me. And reflecting now, I can see how much time I put into that relationship that was going nowhere, even regardless of whether he had been cheating on me or not. But I found that out. My father was 7 years into a Lewy body dementia diagnosis, and so that was the point where he could no longer really walk. He couldn't put sentences together. He couldn't feed himself. So all of those things really led me into depression. I lived with my cousin at the time, but my mother was back and forth with my father. I was helping with his care. Really feeling awful about myself. I had very few reasons to leave the house. Social media was not as big as it is now, but still everybody was posting their highlight reel on social media.
Oh, don't you hate that? And every burp and fart on Facebook, and you just, everybody just loves life.
Everybody was living their best life.
Yeah.
And I was at home waiting until 6 o'clock for my friends to get home from work so that I could see people and do something. And my cousin, who I was living with at the time, she was like, Allison, you need to find something that you do because you love it and not because you want to be around people. And so, you know, thankfully, one of my days scrolling through Facebook, I saw a friend who was training for a marathon and fundraising for an organization. And he is somebody who I would say does not look like your typical runner. And it was transforming his life. He was making new friends. He was accomplishing things that he never thought he could. Like, you know, I saw him run a 10-miler and I was like, oh my God, that seems like the longest thing ever. So I kept following his journey, and he raised about $3,000. And one day I just decided, look, I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I'm just, why not? If I fail, it's not like anything else is going on. So I gathered up the change I had in my apartment in New Jersey to cross the bridge into New York, and I went to the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, and I signed up to run a marathon.
Were you athletic growing up?
So I was. I was a short-distance runner. I was in basketball. I was in soccer. I was really active, actually. But that's,
so that's not alien to you back
not,
then?
Not completely. I mean, the idea of running a marathon was something that I had never thought I was going to do. My distance was 400-meter hurdles, and I hadn't really been active in 8 or 9 years.
And so how old were you when you decided you were going to?
I was 27.
Is that old for marathon running?
No. I mean, actually, even elite athletes, a lot of them continue to perform. Women in particular tend to almost get better with age.
Oh, well, in most everything we do. Hello.
Exactly. And I also, what I'm finding, so around that same time, you know, again, upon reflection, I realized that this is something that I think people like millennials in their late 20s, early 30s, like we're looking for something. And for a lot of people, that has been health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
There's been sort of a boom in the past 5 years for people getting into endurance sports.
So you go to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, yeah. And you run what?
So they had a program that in exchange for fundraising, they would give you marathon training. So I met with a representative. I had to put my credit card down for the fundraising minimum, which was $3,500.
Ooh, that's high.
That is high. And I had, I mean,
and
I
you wasn't working.
I wasn't
Hello?
Making any money. I was like, yeah. Good luck. Take my card. Might not work.
Right.
But, you know, this, I got my training plan and it immediately gave me a sense of purpose and something to work towards. So I had a 16-week training plan that was spelled out that essentially they were like, if you follow this, you will run a marathon, which is the sort of reassurance you need when you don't have a clear path
for
ahead
sure.
of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stuck with that. You know, it was something that got me out of the house. I started going to the group training runs. I started meeting other people. I reconnected with my former athletic past. And it just made me feel so powerful and connected that what started as like one and done, I want to do this and never again, I raised over $5,000 and it sort of launched me into this space of using running for social change, running for mental health.
Did that come to you naturally and right away, or was that kind of a process? I mean, you do this yeah. first race, which was how long?
It was
the full marathon?
Yeah, the San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon.
So you had to get out to California.
Yes, exactly. And so that was actually part of the fundraising and the program. So you fundraise, the minimum was $3,500. I fundraised $5,000. And in exchange, they, you know, they take you out there and they put you on a bus, get you to the start line, help facilitate that whole process. It didn't reveal itself to me like this. Like, I knew that running made me feel better. So throughout the process, I learned about sports psychology and I learned about counseling psychology. And I learned that there were actual tools beyond just the run itself. So through exploring this process, I started thinking like, okay, can I share this with other people? Are there other people in my community who would benefit from this? And I decided that I would start this running club. So it was like piece by piece. Then people started coming to my running club. I started realizing that other people started feeling better about themselves. People were not only losing weight, they were changing jobs, they were getting rid of bad relationships. And I started piecing together just how powerful the experience was of, I guess, trying something you never thought you were capable of and the way that it opens your mind to new possibilities.
But I want to go back to that seminal moment, clearly mm-hmm. the race.
Yeah.
You know, you complete it.
Yes.
And you're extremely proud of yourself. I mean, yeah. it's really a big
crying
deal.
Crying and everything.
Yeah. And you come home. Clearly, this was a process mm-hmm. to get you, as you listed all these connections that you can have with running. I mean, it's not like that you have this epiphany overnight.
No.
I mean, it was maybe a little bit more nuanced and insidious to start something grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you really go about doing that? I mean, you're still not working.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I ran the race. I remember crying at the finish line and then getting back home to New York and feeling like, okay, that can't be it. Like I need to somehow continue this journey and figure out what's next. So I continued running. I signed up for other small races and I started to, I guess, you know, since I was still unemployed, I knew that I needed a job and I looked into getting a job at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I was like, you know what, let me become part of this organization that has done so much for me. So I started working at Team in Training, which is the part of the organization that does this marathon training. And that's where I really learned more about nonprofit fundraising. I learned more about training plans. I started to meet other runners and develop relationships, running more races. And it was, I mean, it was really a slow process, but I started thinking, I could do this. I could bring people together in this way. One thing that really struck me was that there were not a lot of women of color in that community. And I wanted to...
Well, let's define that community.
So I was living in New Jersey at the time, but I wanted to bring this to Harlem, where I'm originally from.
Mm-hmm.
And Harlem is, there's a lot of people of color there, but there are a lot of health disparities, right?
Yes,
so I was thinking, I'm working at the Leukemia Lymphoma Society Team in Training, but am I reaching people who look like me,
right.
who have some of the same issues as me? How can I bring that good work to my neighborhood in Harlem?
Is that what sparked you to say, I think I'll go back to school and get a master's?
Exactly. I had gone to therapy before, but I learned so much about the power of your mindset and the power of, you know, learning to process your emotions and deal with things from the past through this training cycle. And so I then applied and I went back to school and I got my master's. And for sure, my master's in counseling has informed everything that I've done since then.
Well, I think what you are also saying is this marrying of the physical and the emotional.
I mean, it's almost so obvious, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, but I don't know that a lot of people necessarily see it.
Right. And it's, you know, when you're sitting in your apartment and you have no reason to leave, you have no job, you don't have money, you don't feel like you have close connections, your father's sick. The last thing you think is, I'm going to go out and go for a run and that'll make me feel
better. Unless you just keep running and don't come back, right. You know, as being in a, I'll just keep going, just
Right.
So talk about starting Harlem Run and Run for All Women, because you're still doing a lot of this solo, correct?
Yeah.
Let me interrupt. Mm-hmm. So then you must sort of also believe in yourself, in spite of the fact that there was a lot of negativity around you, and I can't, and I don't, and nobody wants me, or whatever. That was also coupled with the fact that, wait a minute, I'm bright. I have a sense of who I am.
Absolutely. When I think about myself, I'm like, it's a huge contradiction, right? Because
yeah.
On the one hand, I was so depressed. But then on the other hand, I had this belief that I had something to share and that I was really well suited to be that person to help others transform. So, I mean, I honestly can't even work through it in my head sometimes how I was able to do some of the things that I did. But I just decided I want to start a running club and I want to share this with other people. That was in November of 2013, and I was by myself. Some of my good friends knew about it, and on occasion they would come out and join me. But it really was a solo process for 4 to 6 months. Nobody showed up. I would be there every Monday night at 7 p.m.
Oh, gosh.
Posting on social media through the winter, through the rain. Again, I mean, that was really hard on my ego. Every Monday every Monday I would call my mom, sometimes in tears, and I would say, this is never going to be anything. And she kept saying, people are watching you, and people will show up the one time that you're not there, and you need to prove that you're consistent and that you really are about building community. So, you know, thankfully, I had my mother in my ear. I guess it looks easy on social media.
It's not an easy road to hoe.
It's not at all. So several months of doing it by myself, and then little by little, people started to come out. And I guess something that I'm really good at is seeing leadership in other people. So there were a few members who came out in the beginning, one of whom is now my fiancé.
Oh, that's obnoxious.
But I actually didn't like him when I first met him.
All right, that's better.
But he was somebody who also was really invested in this idea of community. And for him, running helped him when he was also going through a really tough time.
So this was not restricted to females.
Harlem Run is for everybody.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so bit by bit, this community started to grow. And first it was Amir, who was a leader. Then we had two other leaders, eventually became 8 of us in leadership roles and 50 to 60 people showing up every Monday and Thursday night.
And was the mix of Harlem Run eclectic, young, old, male, female?
Absolutely. More than I anticipated. In fact, I didn't initially want children to come because I was like, oh my God, it's so dangerous to have children on the streets. Parents go nuts if they fall. God forbid something happened. But what we found was that a lot of parents were coming after work and bringing their children. And so that made us want to expand who would be available to. So we created a walking group. We created a run walking group. We have pace groups from 7-minute mile to 12-minute mile, which allows for a range of ages, a range of abilities. And, you know, there's as much as we have Boston Marathon qualifiers, really fast people, we also have people who show up to Harlem Run walking for the first time looking to get healthy.
Do you do the streets or do you go to a park?
Everywhere. We start in Marcus Garvey Park in Central Harlem, and sometimes we go to Central Park. Sometimes we go through the streets of Harlem. Sometimes we go through Morningside Park. We really try to explore as much of the neighborhood as possible, switching our routes every week.
And how did this morph into becoming more of a national activity? Because you were behind a marathon for Planned Parenthood, to raise money for Planned Parenthood. Is that what you saw, the direction that this would eventually go?
I didn't see it coming at all. So the Run for All Women was an initiative that I started in January. The idea came to me end of December, really in response to the election. And
so it's recent.
Very recent. So looking at the community that I had, Harlem Run over the past few years has grown to be really huge and powerful community. And I started feeling like I hadn't done enough with regards to the election and hadn't really mobilized. I didn't really do my part. And I saw the threat of Planned Parenthood being defunded and all the other bizarre and crazy things that our current president is doing. And I thought, what if I mobilize my running community to raise funds for Planned Parenthood and send a message to the president and to everybody else that women are powerful. So I knew that I wanted to arrive on the morning of the Women's March. So I reached out to my good friend, Talisa, and I told her about this idea. I was like, Talisa, I want to run from Harlem to D.C., arrive the morning of the Women's March, and raise $44,000 for Planned Parenthood.
Where'd you come up with that figure?
$44,000 in honor of Barack Obama, 44th president.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So she is an ultramarathoner, and she—
What does that mean?
Ultramarathon is anything over 26.2 miles. So she had at the time she'd done 50 milers, 100 milers. So she was, you know, I was like, I'll call her. If she says yes, then we'll make this happen. Secretly kind of hoping that she would say no. But she was like, yes, this is something that I want to do.
Is that about 250 miles?
252 miles, yeah.
D.C. to New York, yeah. Okay.
She was like, I want to do this. This is something that I think is really important. She also was searching for a way to feel like she could do more.
Mm-hmm.
We launched the GoFundMe page, the fundraising page, on January 2nd.
And 2017.
2017. And my mother was one of the first people to donate $200, put it out there on social media, and the idea just really took off. We got maybe I think the first article was from Bustle, and they wrote that, you know, this woman was going to run from Harlem to D.C. and she was going to raise money for Planned Parenthood. And people started tweeting about it. People started sharing my photo. And by day three or four, we had raised a couple of thousand dollars. And people started reaching out, not just from around the country, but from around the world.
Wow.
People in Korea, people in England, wanting to figure out how could they also use running to, you know, be a part of something bigger. Yeah, before we knew it, in 22 days, we had raised $100,000.
So much for $44,000.
Exactly. On takeoff, January 18th, we had already raised $70,000. And through the 3 days getting to the Capitol, we reached $100,000 and touched, I mean, thousands of people in person who met us along the run. People set up cheer stations at 3 a.m. on the side of the road. Women and men were rearranging their schedules, arranging for childcare, going into work late just so that they could meet us on the way and make sure that we—
So how many runners actually participated?
So there were five main women in the van. So we had a van that trailed us the whole way for safety, and also mm-hmm. so that when some of us would be running, some of us would be resting, and we would take turns.
Yep.
But there were probably 1,000 people at least along the way who we met.
And how long did it take?
We left January 18th at 6 p.m. and we arrived January 21st at 6:21 a.m. So like 60 hours or so. We were catching naps in the van, but we never stopped along the road to sleep. There was always somebody outside moving. And, you know, when they would finish their leg, they would open up the door, jump in, and you would jump out. So it was pretty like sleepless nights.
I mean, I could have been the van driver.
Well, you know, even that we had. So somebody donated the cost of the van. They said they would take care of the cost of the van, and they provided, I believe it was 4 drivers. So that way, because the driver had to sleep also. So we had drivers transitioning in and out and meeting us along the road. It really was an incredible moment of people coming together that I definitely did not anticipate.
So that was the birth of Run for All Women?
Yes.
I mean, because obviously that's a different bent than Harlem Run.
Mm-hmm.
This was your livelihood?
It's now my livelihood. So I.
So you're like the CEO, or
yeah.
I mean, you're clearly the founder. But is there a board of directors?
Well, Run for All Women is not even an entity yet.
It's
so new. But Harlem Run is an LLC, and I'm a sponsored athlete. I have partnerships with Under Armour and other brands, and so that's really how I make my livelihood. For me, Harlem Run is something that I want to continue to be free and open and for the community. But founding and creating Harlem Run has led to other possibilities for me.
Like being a certified coach.
Like being a certified coach, being a sponsored athlete, speaking engagements and events. So there, it's really been the launching point for me to explore this field of health, wellness, being an advocate for mental health, women's rights.
You know, to have been so over here right? And then to do almost a complete 180, I would have to assume that that takes your breath away when you stop and reflect on this.
It absolutely does. And I think sometimes it's almost hard. It's hard for me to believe. And so I know it must be hard for other people to believe.
Well, you're not a dummy. I mean, you know, two master's degrees from Columbia. I mean, we're not just talking about some idiot.
The emotional and mental toll of all this. Like,
yeah.
I remember times when I was so depressed, and I don't say this often, but I was sitting there and I took like 12 Ambien, you know, or wouldn't eat all day and would, you know, do other self-harming things.
I can only imagine that there must have been days that you didn't want to either wake up or get out of bed.
Exactly. Anxiety is something that I still suffer with. Depression, I mean, every now and then I have an episode of depression, nothing like in 2012, but I do have a lot of struggles with anxiety, and I find that running really helps with that because it allows me just to almost like get away, get out of my head.
And be in the moment?
Be in the moment. And also be in control of something. Because a lot of my anxiety comes from worry about what I can't control and fear of putting myself out there and how is this going to go and what are people going to think and, you know, this whole like ongoing worry.
Conversation that you have with yourself.
Yes, nonstop. But when I'm running, it's something that I can control. I can control how long, I can control how far, I can control whether I go or not. So running really gives me this sense of control and also a connection to my body of what I'm capable of.
Is the 250-mile run the longest you've ever done?
So of that, I did 75 miles, and that's the longest I've ever done. We broke it up. But so, yeah, 75 miles is the longest that I've ever done.
And you see yourself scheduling more of these?
So what happened when we got back is everybody was like, now what?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a hard act to follow.
Right. And we got a lot of women reaching out saying that they wanted to do similar things in their own communities. So in August, we actually had 5 events across the country and raised an additional $60,000 for Planned Parenthood, where women organized their own relay endurance type of events.
But took from your prototype.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I was in New Orleans for a run from New Orleans to Baton Rouge. And so that was sort of like Run for All Women 2.0. But now we really are taking a break to, I feel like, you know, the first thing was definitely in response to the election. The second was a way to expand and broaden and bring more people in. And now we really want to take time to be reflective on what is our mission? What are our next steps? And for me, I really think it's an educational piece. And it's about the power of running, whether it's running as a political act, whether it's running as mental health, whether it's running as creating community. How do we sort of change the perspective on running and help women understand that?
So make it available to everyone.
Exactly.
That you don't have to look like you and be the athlete that you are.
Exactly.
How did the Under Armour part of this come about?
Under Armour had heard about what we were doing just from their interest in coming. They wanted to be in New York in the market. So they were looking at different running crews. They had heard about us. And I knew that for Harlem Run to continue to be successful, I needed additional support. So I started reaching out to sponsors, one of whom was Under Armour. And it was just a really great fit because Under Armour was interested in building more of a partnership than a sponsorship. So learning from athletes, they really wanted to invest in communities like Harlem. And so we started talking to them, and it's really grown over time. Initially, it was just a relationship of helping with produce some events and giving us gear and testing different equipment. But now, I mean, I'm in one of their global campaigns, and it really is, they have a huge investment in not only Harlem Run, but also Run for All Women and the vision that I have of making running more accessible.
So you're a spokeswoman?
Spokeswoman, sponsored athlete.
Sponsored athlete.
Yeah.
So what athletic endeavors are you looking for in the future?
I really want to bring this style of inclusive fitness to other urban communities and other areas that I think could benefit from it.
Around the country?
Around the country, yeah. So when I started Harlem Run, there weren't really people running in groups in Harlem, and there weren't any running groups in the Bronx and in some of these other areas.
Inner city areas.
Yeah. And now, I mean, I started Harlem Run, and now you've seen a lot of other groups that have taken our model and done that around the city, which is incredible. And so I want to continue to bring that to other places around the country. Women have actually started reaching out from Roxbury, Massachusetts, from Charlotte, from as far as Australia, wanting to know, like, how do you do this? And again, it's like they see that Harlem Run is now 200 people on social media, and when they put the word out, one person shows up. So, you know, it's sort of like a mentoring process to
You're the prototype.
Yeah, help develop leaders across the country and the world to build this kind of community. I want to talk to the quote-unquote average woman for whom running and exercise can really change their life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when I run a marathon, it's not because I'm going to win it, but it's because it's going to make such a difference for how I feel about myself and what I think is possible for me. And so I think that's the piece, especially once you're out of high school and college, there really aren't opportunities to engage in sport, opportunities to be engaged in play, really. And we know that play is so important for kids, right? To be able to just be yourself, be free, not
with no agenda.
Yeah, not having to be an expert at things. I forget what I was listening to recently, but somebody was, it must have been an interview where the person was saying, you know, I sing because I like to sing. I am not good at it, but I like doing it.
I'm not getting a recording contract.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we need to open up that space. Like, you might suck at running, you might suck at walking, whatever the case may be, but you should still do it, and there should still be places for people.
A community.
Yeah.
So, obviously, because you can speak from experience, it's also about meeting up, because you have now met your future husband.
That's right.
Can you guarantee that?
I cannot guarantee that.
Does he still run, by the way?
He does. He's my co-leader in Harlem Run, and he has a real interest in mentoring young black and brown boys, and does a lot of mentorship, and he's looking to create his own sort of programming around that. But yeah, I can't guarantee a future partner, but it will change your life.
While you can't predict the future, you can certainly go back over the past, and I can't imagine that there aren't days that you wake up in the course of the years and that bleak time in 2012 where you just thought, I'm going to throw in the towel, because there is no raison d'etre. What is the point of going on?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever reserve you had in your gut, in your mind, you are worthy.
Yeah, there was definitely a piece of that. And that's what I keep holding on to now. Now my struggles are different. Now my struggles are like, oh my God, I have so much anxiety. I'm going to be in this global campaign, right? That caused me so much anxiety. Like, am I good enough to be alongside
Doesn't that suck? I know. And I will tell you, because I'm much older than you are, quite frankly, it never ends.
Right, right.
So sorry about that.
The good news is no. So that constant feeling, am I good enough? Am I doing enough? And that's when I go back to how I felt in 2012 a lot. I'm like, there was a time when you didn't even imagine this was possible.
Right.
You need to continue to take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of you. You never know what's going to come. But that's also what endurance training does for you. You know, when you have this training plan, right, and you know that the outcome is going to be a marathon, you know the outcome is going to be something good, right? But you have to stick through and do the awful speed work and all the other crap that you don't necessarily want to do. So that's the place that I go to when I'm feeling really fearful. But it doesn't make it any easier.
Well, it's also this business of get out of yourself.
Yeah.
So in other words, there's quite a future for Harlem Run and Run for All Women, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we're going to keep hearing from Allison Dazier,
yes,
who has the Dazier. We've run out of time, but before we say goodbye, your nickname, I read, is Powdered Feet.
Yes.
So why don't you explain that?
Sure. Growing up, I was super active and could never sit still. And my parents actually didn't like that quality about me. They were like, you're everywhere. We can't control you. You have powdered feet. That saying comes from Haitian Creole. It means you never see the person, just the footprints of where they've been in powder. And so thankfully, my parents didn't take that quality away from me, because that's really come to define who I am. Doing multiple things at once, always engaged, always active. Yeah, I love that that's something that my parents gave me at an early age, because I think it really speaks to my personality.
What a great way to end. Yeah. Miss Powdered Feet. I think that's perfect.
Thank you.
Hey, Allison Dazier, it was really great to get to meet you and get to know you.
Great talking to you. I appreciate
Continued success. I probably won't see you in a marathon.
Maybe not in a marathon, but on a walk.
I could certainly drive the van. So call me. Thanks a lot, Allison.
Thank you.
Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.